Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about victory. Everybody say victory. And there's two scriptures that I want to bring to your attention, and we're going to place on the screen this morning concerning victory. And I want to share them with you this morning. Victory from 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. These two scriptures let us know that we are people of victory. Now, we have a God that's never known defeat. I wish I could say that, but I can't. I would say that most of you are not able to say that. As a matter of fact, there have been times we've known defeat, but victory is when you don't stay defeated. You rise above your defeat. That's called victory. And in this scripture here where it says, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, he's talking about those who've experienced being born again. You know, that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. I want to take a little survey this morning. How many here, you've experienced the new birth? Can I see your hand? You've been born again. You know what I'm talking about? Not of the flesh, but of the spirit. So there's two births. There's the natural birth and there's the spiritual birth. I'm so glad to tell you I've had two births in my life. My first birth came from my mother. My second birth came from the Holy Spirit. My first birth, I came in Baymanette, Alabama, which is really south. And my second birth came when I was in Birmingham, Alabama. My first birth came when I was born into a family called the Taylors. My second birth came when I was born into the family of God. My first birth gave me temporary life. My second birth has given me everlasting life because I've been born again of the Spirit. I will tell you, my second birth has done things for me my first birth could never do, all because I've been born again. Notice what he says here. Those who have been born again, those who have been born of God, notice, overcomes the world, and this is the victory. So in other words, victory is in your DNA. Here's what scientists tell us. Scientists tell us that with every human being, there's over 100 trillion cells in your body. And within every cell of your body is what is known as DNA. That's your genetic code. That makes you who you are. That's what determines your height. That's what determines your hair color. That's what determines your eyes. That's what determines so much about you is called your DNA. And if your DNA in your body was to be unraveled, it would reach to the sun and back over 300 times. Scientists have discovered that your DNA is what makes you who you are. And you got your DNA from your parents. You got your DNA from your mama and your daddy. That's why as you age, you find yourself saying things that your daddy would have said. Or as you age, you find yourself doing things that remind you of what your mama would have done. As you age, you start looking more like your parents because that's your DNA. Notice that when you were born of God, you got his DNA placed within you by the power of the Holy Spirit when you were born again, and now you have a DNA that comes from your Heavenly Father, which lets you know we are people of victory, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, and we're people of victory. We may get down, but we get up again. We may know defeat, but we will rise again. You see, victory is simply saying we will not stay down, we will rise again. We are people of victory. this morning in talking about victory, I want to go to the Old Testament and I want to share with you for a few minutes from a story everybody in this house knows. You could tell it. You've heard it all your life. You've heard preacher after preacher talk about David and Goliath. Well, for a few minutes this morning, I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and I want to share with you about David's victory. When we go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, here's what we find out. We find out that Israel is in battle with the Philistines. Now, this is nothing new because the Philistines seem to be Israel's number one enemy. They were a constant thorn in the flesh for Israel. And they're in battle with the Philistines, and the Philistines has this guy by the name of Goliath. Now, I've studied Goliath, and I've read different authors about how tall he was, how big he was. Some think he was 9 foot tall, 10 foot tall, 11 foot tall, how big he was. I really don't know how big he was, but I'll tell you this. He had eaten his Wheaties, and he was a big old boy. And notice what Goliath would do. Goliath would come out every morning and mock Israel and challenge Israel. Every morning he would come out for 40 days. For 40 days they heard his voice the first thing in the morning, laughing at them, mocking them, and challenging them, saying, "Do you not have anybody who could come and come against me?" Well, not only did he do it in the mornings, he did it in the evenings. That means every morning, every evening for 40 days, the first thing Israel heard was that voice of Goliath, and the last thing they heard before the sun went down was that voice of Goliath laughing at them and challenging them, which means 80 times. 80 times he has laughed at them, mocked them, and challenged them, and this is what your Bible says Israel did. Every time he laughed at them and challenged them, they would run and hide. They would run and hide and get down and say, "Get down, get down. We're Israel. We're the mighty people of God. Get down. We are the chosen ones. You better hide. You better get down because we are the mighty people of God." And now they have been conditioned to run. Listen to this. If you listen to the wrong voice too long, you will be conditioned to run when you should be standing. Notice they should have been standing, but now they have listened to the wrong voice and they turn and they run from him. This went on for 40 days and nothing has changed whatsoever. We find out there's a man by the name of Jesse who has three sons who's in the military. And he also has a younger son by the name of David. And David, under the instructions of his father, has brought supplies to his brothers. Milk, cheese, bread. He's bringing them supplies to the battlefield. Here's a young boy, probably a teenager, around 15 years of age. He shows up at the battlefield where there has been a challenge for 40 days and nothing has changed, and he shows up to see his brothers. What's about to happen is David is about to get involved in the battle. He has no idea what's about to happen. He has no idea what's about to take place. He shows up as the supply boy, and he's about to enter into the battle. I want you to notice this morning that his battle began with words. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but the battle David is about to begin with begins with words. For instance, in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, we find out three conversations that David has. Number one, he has a conversation with his brothers. He shows up with supplies to his brothers, and his brothers are not happy to see him. They are not happy to see him in the least. As a matter of fact, here's what they say when they see him. "What are you doing here? You know, you've always got to be the center of attention. You've always got to be noticed. You've always got to be seen. You've always got to be involved in everything. You think you've always got to show up and be involved. What are you doing here? And they began to speak discouraging words to him. They didn't welcome him to the battle. They didn't welcome him even though he had supplies. They began to speak discouraging words to him. Secondly, he has another conversation. As the story goes on, we find out that we find David with King Saul. The next thing you know how this thing works out, he's with King Saul, and he's talking about the king about Goliath and how I think I could take him and I believe I could bring him down. And here's what King Saul says to him: you can't go fight against him because you are but a youth. That word youth simply means you have not been through training. You've not been involved in the military. You've not been through boot camp. You've never been trained to go to battle like this, and you're not qualified. You're too young. You're too immature. You haven't developed. You've been through no training. And he begins to put him down, telling him he's not qualified, and he begins to speak demeaning words to him. Well, there's a third conversation we find in 1 Samuel 17, and that's when David goes out to fight Goliath, and he stands before him, and when he does, Goliath literally laughs at him. He says, is this all Israel's got? Is this all you've got? Is this all you can bring to me? And he begins to laugh, and I'm going to paraphrase for you this morning, but he begins to look down on David, and he says simply like this: Little boy, you need to go home. You need to go see your mama, because this is not a playground. This is a battleground. And if you stay here, you're going to get hurt. And little boy, let me tell you what I will do to you should you stay here. I will take you and I will dismember you. I will break you apart and I'll feed your body to the wild animals of the field and to the birds of the air. Little boy, you need to go home. So now notice what happens. Goliath begins to speak destructive words to him. Look what happens. His battle began with words. We talk about discouraging words from his brothers. We talked about demeaning words from the king. And now we're looking at destructive words from Goliath. That's right. Here's what they said. His brother spoke discouraging words to him. The king spoke demeaning words about him. And now Goliath is speaking destructive words over him. It all began with words. Were words powerful? Well, listen to what your Bible said in the book of Proverbs. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Here's what you and I have the ability to do. We have the ability to speak life, or we have the ability to speak death. Everybody here, you have that ability. You can speak life over your marriage, or you can speak death over your marriage. You can speak life over your children, or you can speak death over your children. You can speak life over your finances, or you can speak death over your finances. You can speak life over your health, or you can speak death over your health. You have the ability to speak life and death, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's how powerful it is. And let me remind you, go back to the story just a moment, that for 40 days, every morning and every evening, Goliath speaks death over Israel. He spoke death over them in the morning, and he spoke death over them in the evening. I was reading that scripture one day, and the Holy Spirit told me, protect your mornings and protect your evenings. Why? Because the devil loves to disrupt you early in the morning so he can ruin your day, and you have to deal with it all day long. And take care of your evenings, because the devil loves to disrupt your evening where you can't sleep that night. Therefore, you're worried all day and you can't sleep all night, and it wears on you. Notice what Goliath had done. Goliath had held Israel captive for 40 days by words. Not with a spear. Not with a sword, not with a knife, but with words. Israel is in prison to words for 40 days. And now when Goliath comes to the battle, the first thing he has to do is deal with words. Do you know what Goliath could have done? He could have thought about those discouraging words from his brother. He could have talked about those demeaning words from the king. He could have listened to those destructive words from Goliath and ran home. He could have been defeated by words and went home and never gotten involved in the battle. How many people are being prisoners to words that were spoken to them, about them, or over them from years ago? It may have been 10 years ago. It may have been 20 years ago. But you won't step on the battlefield because something that was said years ago and it hurt your feelings and you're still holding on to it. How many believers today are captive to words that have been spoken to them, about them, or over them, and they won't get involved in the battle of the Lord? But what I like about David is he wouldn't run. Amen. Amen. He wouldn't go home. You could talk about him, he wasn't leaving. You could talk about him, he wasn't going nowhere. You could put him down, he wasn't going in nowhere. As a matter of fact, I want you to notice how he responded to every conversation and every word. When his brothers said to him, "What are you doing here? You always want to be the center of attention. You always want to be noticed." You know what he said? He looked at them and said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Don't you understand what's happening here? Don't you see the real meaning of what's going on here?" In other words, he's telling his brothers, "You don't even see the big picture. You don't see really what's at stake here. You don't understand what's going on here. This is important." I hate to tell you this because I'm like many of you. I've been around church all my life, and I have pastored people, been in church all their life, and they still don't see the big picture. They think church is supposed to be a social club. They think church is supposed to be something where there's supposed to be cliques and just your little group, and all we're supposed to be here, and the church is supposed to be a social group for me all the time. It's supposed to entertain me. You got to understand, church, there's a battle going on in this world, and we can't hide from the battle. There's a battle going on in this world, and it's about who's going to win the victory. And I don't know what you say in your life. I know times are dark and times are bad, and it's looking bad in a lot of ways. But I got a word for you. Whose report shall you believe? I shall believe the report of the Lord. And I believe God's people can still have victory, but we'll never have victory if we run from it. When the king spoke demeaning words to him and said, "You're not qualified," I love how David responded. David said, "King, let me tell you, one day I was keeping my daddy's sheep and a lion came by and took one of my daddy's sheep, and I tracked that lion down and I slew that lion and I took the sheep out of his mouth and paws and I returned him back to the flock. And there was another day, old king, I was keeping my daddy's sheep and a bear came by and took one of my daddy's sheep. And I said, well, if I don't let a lion by with it, I'm not going to let a bear by with it. And I tracked that bear down and I slew that bear and I took that sheep out of his paws and I returned him to the flock." And then David said this, "And King, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the same God who delivered me from the paw of the bear shall also deliver me from this guy by the name of Goliath." Can I tell you, the next time the devil tells you you're not good enough, and the next time the devil tells you you're not qualified, and the next time the devil tells you you're not going to make it, you remind him of some victories you've already won. You remind him of some bears you've already slain and some lions you've already, and understand the same God that delivered me then will also deliver me now. What about the response to Goliath? Listen to what David says to Goliath. He says, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you. You need to underline those words in your Bible. I come to you. What's so important about that? What's so important about that? 80 other times Israel has run from him. 80 other times, 40 in the morning, 40 in the evening. Every time they hear the voice, they run from him. And what I love about David, he looks up at Goliath and says, I'm not running. You want me, you got me, but I will not run. Let me tell you, you never win the victory by running. Did you know the only place in the Bible it tells us to run is when it comes to sexual temptation? Flee fornication. That's the only place the believer is to run. No other place does it say run. Paul doesn't tell us in Ephesians 6 to put on the whole armor of God and run. He says put on the whole armor of God and stand. And when you've done everything you know to do, you stand. When the devil looks bigger than you, you stand. When the enemy looks like he's got the upper hand, you stand. When it looks like you're not going to make it, you stand. When you wonder if prayers are ever going to get answered, you stand. And David says, if you want me, you got me, I come to you. I want somebody to write this down. If you're taking notes, you need to write this down. It's very important for somebody to hear this. You cannot conquer what you will not confront. I'm preaching right now. You may not be getting what I'm trying to tell you, but I'm preaching real good at the 8:30 a.m. service this morning. Let me look at the 8:30 folks and tell you, you cannot conquer what you will not confront. If you won't confront it, you'll never conquer it. You'll never conquer it by running. This is not a time for you to run. This is a time for you to do like David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. I see your armor. I see your spear. I see your shield, but I come to you in a name that's above every other name. Can I tell you, you can conquer any devil in the name of the Lord. You can conquer anything in the name of Jesus. That name that's above all names. And what I love about David, when he dealt with words, he never ran. See, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but this is where the battle always begins. With the devil telling you, trying to discourage you, demean you, destruct you. But look at me this morning. Greater is he that's in you. Oh, you didn't hear me. Greater is he that's in you. Oh, somebody ought to help me preach right now. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Your Goliath may be bigger than you, but your Goliath is not bigger than your God. Every Goliath that you look up on, God looks down on, because your God is greater and there's victory in his name. I want everybody here to look at your neighbor and tell them, I think he's preaching to you. Go ahead and tell somebody, I think he's preaching to you. Talk to somebody. I think the man's talking to you. I think he's preaching to you. You need to quit running and start standing in the name of Jesus. You need to quit running. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You never overcome by running. You only overcome by standing. Glory to God. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm telling you, there's somebody in this house. You've allowed words from years ago to control you, but I'm telling you, you need to do like David said. You just need to throw them away. You need to disregard them. Quit letting them throw you away. Amen. Whose report are you going to believe? You believe the report of the Lord. It doesn't matter what happened in your past. You can get victory over your past where the words of the past no longer control you, that you stand on the word of the Lord. If you believe that, put your hands together and give the Lord a shout of praise right now. Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on, praise him. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I will not listen to his words any longer. Can I preach on a few more minutes? Y'all ready to go, or y'all give me a few more minutes? How many give me a few more minutes? Put your hand up. Get your hand up right now in Jesus' name. Notice what happens. You know the story. David takes his slingshot, hits Goliath, and Goliath falls, and David runs, stands on top of him, takes his sword, and decapitates him. Let me tell you something about victory. It'll give you a different perspective. Before he brought Goliath down, this was David's perspective. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord. After David brings him down and takes his head off, he stands on top of him. He's got a totally different perspective. You ain't so big. You ain't so bad. I told the king I'd bring you down. And you ain't getting back up. Why did David cut his head off? To make sure I'll never face this one again. I may have other battles. I may face other giants. I may go through other things. But this one, let me tell you something. When you get it down, cut the head off to make sure I'm never going to face this one again. It's over. I may face other battles, but I won't face this one again. There's something wrong if you keep facing the same battle year after year after year after year. You need to get it down and take the head off that thing so you can go on with the Lord. Now look at me. For some of us, we think that's it. That's the end of the story. But that was only the beginning of David's battle. That was only the beginning. I hate to tell you this because some of y'all are going to get discouraged a little bit when I tell you this, but if you'll think it through, you'll get it. Every battle is not won instantly. Now, us Pentecostal folks, we want God to do everything right now. He's right now God. I want to do it right now. Do it right now, God. Do it right now. I want it right now. I want it right now. I mean, he's been preaching 20 minutes. I ought to have it by now. I mean, come on, let's do it right now. See, we're very impatient people. Stay with me. God doesn't do everything immediately. God doesn't do everything instantly. Some victories will require time. Some victories will require that you stay in the battle. Now that he's got Goliath down and his head off, he's only just begun. Look what he does. He takes Goliath's head by the hair and he heads for Jerusalem. He walks into Jerusalem, and when he walks into Jerusalem, he's got that bloody head by the hair of his head, and everybody starts celebrating because everybody knew who that was. Everybody knew, recognized that head. That's Goliath. And they're so happy that David has got his head but left his body out there. Everybody starts celebrating. Matter of fact, throughout the city, there's a mass celebration going on, and they're saying something like this: Saul killed his thousands, but David tens of thousands. David walks into the palace where the king is, walks into the palace and looks at King Saul. He's got Goliath's head up and looks at him and said, I told you I could take him. And just rolls that head at the feet of Saul. It's amazing Saul's reaction. It's amazing how he responded. He hears the voices from the streets of David has killed his 10,000, Saul his thousands. And you would think that Saul would have celebrated with him. You know, you like to think you know yourself. I like to think that if I had been king, man, I'd have got out there in the streets and I'd have got down with those people. I'd have danced. I'd have celebrated. We don't have to hear that voice no more. He's out of here. We don't ever have to listen to him again. For 40 days, we've listened to him, and he's gone. You like to think that if you're king, I don't care who takes him out, just somebody take him out. I don't care who brings him down, just somebody. But notice, Saul can't celebrate. There's something wrong when you can't celebrate other people's victories. Why? Because why can't he celebrate? Well, if you study Saul, if you study his personality, he was a very insecure man. Insecure people have problems celebrating other people. Insecure people just, they're threatened by other people's success. He is so insecure, he can't celebrate David's victory of bringing Goliath down. He's so insecure, then he gets jealous because he hears the voices of the people out there, and jealousy turns to anger. Notice the pattern. Have you got the pattern here? Insecurity led to jealousy. Jealousy led to anger. That's the pattern. It works today. Notice that insecure people get very jealous of other people's success, and then it turns into anger. How come that didn't happen for me? How come that didn't? Why is that me? And they can't celebrate. I want to say something to every brother in this church. When God blesses your brother, celebrate with your brother. I'm going to say something to every sister in this church. When God blesses a sister in the church, you ought to be celebrating. Well, they got a new house. Well, why don't you throw him a party and celebrate that new house? Well, he got a new truck. Well, praise God, celebrate with him. Well, he got a new boat. Well, praise God, celebrate with him and go fishing with him. But you see, there's so much jealousy in the church today, we have problems celebrating other people's victories. I'm telling you, one of the greatest things you can do is celebrate other people. God blessed you, I'm going to celebrate with you. God touched you, I'm going to celebrate with you. Don't ever lose the spirit of celebration when we celebrate one another and we bless one another. If God gave you a raise, I'm going to celebrate. If God blessed your family, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate with you. And this is what the king could not do. Now notice what happened. I got a couple more points. How many of you stay with me for a few more points? The king gets so angry, he picks up a javelin, which is a spear, and he slings it at David there in the palace. He throws that spear so hard, and the Bible said the reason he threw the spear was he wanted to pin David to the wall with a spear through his chest. David's only crime is he brought Goliath down. And now the king is so angry, he's throwing javelins at him. I think I'm going to write a book one day, and the name of the book's going to be You Better Learn to Duck. If you're in church and God blesses you, you better learn to duck. It's sad that you can win the victory and some folks try to pin you to the wall. All because he brought Goliath down. But listen to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14. Here it is. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Notice, first of all, when David had to get victory, he had to disregard some words. Secondly, he had to behave himself wisely. The words he disregarded, the wisdom he displayed. Notice that when the javelin is being thrown at him, he walks in wisdom. When the heat is on, he walks in wisdom. When the battle really gets hot, he walks in wisdom. When the king is very angry, he walks in wisdom. You see, don't forget this. Sometimes you got to outsmart the enemy. Think of all the church problems through the years that could have been resolved if we'd have used wisdom. Think of all the family issues that could have been dealt with and done away with if we'd have used wisdom. Sometimes you got to outsmart the devil. This is what Paul said to the Corinth church. He said, we are not ignorant of his devices, because if we're ignorant of his devices, he will take advantage of you. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Aren't you tired? Aren't you a little bit tired of the devil taking advantage of us? Aren't you a little bit tired of him getting the upper hand? Sometimes you've got to outsmart the devil. When the heat is on, walk in wisdom. I love what Jesus said. Jesus said, be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. That when you conduct your life, you use it with wisdom. And notice, he said, as harmless as a dove. There's one thing we know about a dove's character. It doesn't attack anybody. It doesn't attack anything. It's nothing like a hawk or an eagle. It has a gentle spirit about him. Jesus said, walk in wisdom. Be as wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. When the battle is on, just walk in the wisdom of the Lord. I'm going to show you how much wisdom David used while javelins were being thrown at him. Not one time did he ever pick up a javelin and throw it back. Not one time did he retaliate. Not one time did he throw a spear back at the king. He's walking in wisdom. Wisdom means sometimes you let it go. Wisdom means sometimes you don't even respond. I found out I don't have to respond to every rumor. I don't have to respond to all the gossip. Some things I don't even waste my time with. I'm walking in wisdom. Oh, how are you handling that? I'm walking in the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God says sometimes you just leave it alone and go on because you know God's going to take care of you and God's going to take care of your enemy. So you don't even have to fight your enemy. You let God take care of your enemy and you just walk in wisdom for the Lord because Proverbs tells us in chapter 4, wisdom is the main thing. So with all you're getting, get understanding and get the wisdom of the Lord. Sometimes you just leave it alone. Sometimes you don't even respond. Sometimes you let it go and you move on knowing God's got something better for you. And you're going to walk in wisdom and you're going to be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And everybody said amen. Amen. Thirdly, I got one more. Not only the words that David disregarded and the wisdom that he displays and he walked wisely when the king was attacking him, but thirdly, the warrior spirit he developed. Man, David leaves there. Saul's after him. Saul gets all of his military people and Saul becomes possessed with killing David. David's hiding in caves. He's hiding in other places. King Saul can't find him. Now, catch this. David finally goes to the king of the Philistines, King Achish, and he asks for grace. David knows he's in trouble, and he knows it's only a matter of time that Saul gets him. And he goes to the king of the Philistines, Achish, and he asked for grace. I want you to get something here. Achish gives him grace. Isn't it amazing that he could find grace with the enemy, but he couldn't find it with King Saul? Isn't it sad when sinners find more grace in the world than they do in the house of God? Isn't it sad when sinners aren't condemned and judged out there, but they come in the house of God, they get judged and condemned? I'm going to tell you, we need to be a house of grace. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, we need to be a house of grace. We need to say, hey, let me tell you what God has done for me. And if God can do it for me, God can do it for you. And King Achish gives him a place called Ziklag. He says, take your pen. David had 600 men and their families. Go down there. You can camp out at Ziklag. They go to Ziklag. Here we go. And now David, he comes back to King Achish, says, I want to go to battle with you. I want to help you in your military. And some of the top advisors of the king come to the king, say, you can't trust him. That's David. He's the one who took Goliath out. Send him back. You can't trust him. So David and his men go back to Ziklag. And when they get to Ziklag, the Amalekites have come and they've destroyed Ziklag. They burn it to the ground and taken their wives and children, and kidnap them. Just when you think things can't get any worse. And the Bible says that David and his men wept till they couldn't weep anymore. His men get angry. And they start talking about stoning him. You know, this is all David's fault. Why don't we stone him, take him out? It's all David's fault. Take him out. You got to understand, at this point, David is a man nobody wants. King Saul don't want him. King Saul wants to kill him. King Achish don't want him because he can't trust him. And now his own men have turned on him and want to stone him. And you think you've had a bad week. And I love this scripture. Don't ever forget this scripture. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. He developed a warrior spirit. Why has God let me go through so many hard things? He's trying to develop something in you. Why didn't I get to live on Easy Street where everything was just easy? He's trying to develop something in you. Why wasn't everything handed to me on a silver platter? He's trying to develop something in you. God doesn't let you go through hard times to destroy you. He lets you go through hard times to develop you. David now, at this point, has developed a warrior spirit. He's saying, I know Saul wants to kill me. I know Achish can't trust me. And I know my own men are upset and want to stone me. But I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. Let me tell you, when you're really doing good is when you don't depend on other folks to encourage you, but you encourage yourself in the Lord. When other folks aren't calling you, you go ahead and encourage yourself in the Lord. When other folks aren't texting you saying don't give up, you're encouraging yourself in the Lord. When the pastor's out of town and the staff is busy and nobody's checking on you, you're encouraging yourself in the Lord. Let me tell you, when you're really developing and you're strong is when you don't need other folks. You can go through hell, but you walk in here on Sunday morning saying, I'm ready to praise him. I got my praise on. I'm ready to bless the Lord. Everything went wrong this week, but I'm ready to praise the Lord. When you can come in here after you've been through hell and praise him, you have developed a warrior spirit. I love what David does. He goes and he prays. He said, God, what should I do? They burnt Ziklag down. They got our wives and children. And God says, pursue. Go get them. So David gets his men together and said, I got a word from the Lord. We're going to go get our wives and our children. They take off and they're in this big field. And the Amalekites had a man that was with them who got wounded. And they left him out in the field. And David finds him. And David comes up to that man. He says, where are the Amalekites? They've got our wives and our children. Where are they? The man went, I love David. David pulls out his knife, puts it at the man's throat, and says, if you don't tell me where they are, I'm going to split your throat. And the man said, they right down there. You go over that hill, go down that hill, there's a tree, turn left at the tree, go down into that valley, they down there. David goes down there and the Amalekites are having a party. They celebrating because they burnt Ziklag down and they got David's wives and children and all that they kidnapped. They're just having a big party. I'm going to tell you something about the devil. He'd love to have a party at your expense. He wants to have a party and make you pay for it. David, here it is, takes his men and they go down into that valley and they wipe out the Amalekites. When the sun came up the next morning, there wasn't an Amalekite living. And here's what your Bible says. And David recovered all. Not some. Not part. All. And David recovered all. Did you know you can recover all? I don't care what the devil has done to you, you can recover all. I don't care what the devil took, you can recover all. I don't care what the enemy used against you, you can recover all. The very next chapter, stay with me. The very next chapter, Israel and the Philistines are fighting and the battle gets tough and Saul commits suicide. the very next chapter. When you go to 2 Samuel chapter 2, David becomes king of Judah. You go to chapter 5, he becomes king of Israel. Watch this. What if David had given up at Ziklag when the king wanted him dead, King Saul wanted him dead, and King Achish couldn't trust him, his own men wanted to stone him? What if he had given up then? If David had given up then, he'd have never got his wives and children back. He'd have never been king of Judah. He'd have never been king of Israel. There is such a great price to pay for people who give up. They don't understand. What is today doesn't mean it's going to be that way tomorrow. Can I tell you, you've got too much riding on this thing to quit now. I grew up in church, Brother Cash, when people, they'd have testimonies and the saints would give up on testimony night and they'd say something like this: I've come too far to turn back now. I've climbed too many mountains, gone through too many valleys, fought too many wars. I can't give up now. I'm going to make heaven my home because I can't give up now. You can't give up now because there's too much riding on it. I'm here to tell you, if you develop a warrior spirit, one day you're going to reach your destiny. You're going to sit on your throne and God's going to bless you beyond anything you ever thought could happen. Here it is, and I'm done. Some of y'all been waiting on those words. How did David win the battle? He had to disregard some words. He had to walk in wisdom. And he had to develop a warrior spirit that says, I just won't quit. Because if you quit now at your Ziklag, you'll forfeit what God has for you in the future. Here's what I believe. God's got a future for everybody in this house. Can I get an amen? Not only for this church, but everybody individually. And the devil, if there's one thing he wants to do, is take away your future. But listen, with God, all things are possible. If you're here today and this word spoke to you, I want to see your hand. Hold your hand up. This word spoke to you. If you got your hand up, I want you to stand up. I want everybody standing to come stand with me right now. Just come stand up front here. Won't you just come stand with me? Can't give up now, man. Can't give up now. Can't stop now. Can't quit now. Come too far to turn back now. Here's what I'm convinced of. I want to tell you what I'm convinced of. Everybody will have a Ziklag. A Ziklag is painful. Ziklag is a place of loss. I've had my Ziklag. I can tell you all about Ziklag. I can write a book about Ziklag. It's horrible. It's painful. It's ugly. But if you quit at Ziklag, you never get to your destiny. As bad as Ziklag is, there is a God. There is a God who will take you from your Ziklag to get you to your promised land. And you just can't quit now. Quit worrying about other people. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Some of you need to talk to yourself and you need to encourage yourself. Quit waiting on other folks to encourage you. So what if they don't call you? So what if you didn't get a call? So what if nobody come to see you? So what if you didn't get a card in the mail? So what? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Speak life to yourself. Make up your mind. I'm going to develop a warrior spirit in me, and I will not be denied. Every head bow, please. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Gary, the words that you spoke about the battle was for me. Let me see your hand. Wow. I want everybody with your head bowed. I want you to repeat after me. Dear Lord, Or you can do better than that. Dear Lord, I thank you that victory is mine. Victory is in my DNA. I have been born again, born of God. Therefore, I am a person of victory. Today, I disregard all words, negative words, painful words, hurtful words that were spoken to me, about me, or against me. I dismiss them in the name of Jesus. I let them go. No longer will they control me. In the name of Jesus, I let them go. I want everybody here to lift up both hands and praise him because the words are gone now. Come on, praise him because words are gone now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, praise him. They're gone in Jesus' name. They're gone in Jesus' name. Come on, praise him. They're no longer control you, no longer influence you. They're not going to dictate you anymore. They're not going to tell you how to feel anymore. They're not going to tell you what you can do and what you can't do anymore. Praise God. Put them under your feet and move on in the name of the Lord. With both hands up, repeat after me. I will walk in wisdom. When the enemy is attacking me and javelins are being thrown at me to pin me to the wall, I will walk in wisdom. I will outsmart the enemy. I will walk in the wisdom of God. I will be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. This day, today, I walk in the wisdom of God. His wisdom will build me up and I will overcome because of wisdom. We got one more. Here we go. Come on now, I want you to shout this one out. Through all my trials, all my battles, all my valleys, all my hard times, they will not destroy me. I will develop a warrior spirit that says, I won't quit. I will not give up. I will not let up. I will not back up. I stand. Because I have a warrior spirit. My Ziklag will not destroy me. I will encourage myself in the Lord. And I will not allow my Ziklag to control my future. God has my future. God has my tomorrow. God has my tomorrow. And I will not quit. Now put your hands together and praise him all over this house. Come on, let's praise him. Oh, somebody praise him now. Oh, come on, somebody put a hallelujah with that clap. Somebody put a shout with that clap. Somebody go ahead and praise him. Somebody glorify him. Come on, this is how we fight our battles. We give him praise. We give him glory. Oh, come on, let's give him praise in this house. God. Now here's how you walk out of here today. Well, let me tell you first how you don't walk out of here today. Don't walk out of here like this. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I sure hope I just hold on to the end. I pray I just get enough to make it. I don't know how I'm going to pay them bills. I tell you what, times are hard, times are bad. I don't know. You don't walk out of here like that because we are people of victory. I said, we are people of victory. I said, we are people of victory. You walk out of here like this. put your head up high and say, I know my Redeemer liveth. I'll lift up my head because my redemption draweth nigh, and victory is in my DNA. Glory to God. Now I got to say one more thing. If I preach too long, I will not apologize. Because I believe the Lord had a word for us today. And we are people of victory. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Victory is in our DNA. I want you right now to go to 7 people, shake their hand and tell them we're people of victory. Go to them right now. We are people of victory. We are people of victory.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.